Packers fans, welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Ryan Wood. You will notice we are a man down this week. Our colleague Tom Silverstein's feeling a little under the weather, so we decided he needed to stay home, get back on the grind, because Ryan, we might actually have a little bit more football left in us if these Packers are any indication. A win and they are in game on Sunday versus the Detroit Lions, and we heard from so many guys today, it just feels like everything is going their way and that at this point a playoff push is inevitable.
Everything is going their way. I think we mentioned Sunday night, when you're doinking a 56-yard field goal off the crossbar, good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I turned to Pete Doherty before that kick and I said, he makes this, I'll give you all the money in my wallet. And fortunately, I had no money in my wallet. But, like, it's
clever.
Mason Crosby's Mason Crosby. I mean, it's not that, he's Mason Crosby, but 56-yard field goal? That doesn't happen in Lambeau Field. You don't see it. It was the longest any Packers kicker has ever had. So, when that's going for you, everything is going for you.
Yeah. And, I mean, you think about it. Five different games have fallen their way. I mean, Rasul Douglas tiptoed around the word destiny today, but I mean, when he said, when you're watching these outside games and you're seeing everything fall your way, you can't help but get encouraged. And that's what these Packers are heading into Sunday night's game with, is a lot of encouragement. Before we get too much into the game, I want to stop and talk about something real quick. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin, collapsed on Monday night during the Monday night game. Reports on Thursday out of the hospital seem to be very, very encouraging. He is squeezing his family members' hands. He's writing out questions, including his very first question, who won the game?
Did we win?
Did we win?
It's
yes.
Incredible.
Football guy right there.
Yep.
We wish him all the best in a speedy recovery after, I don't know about you, Ryan, but probably one of the scariest things I've ever seen happen on a football
field.
Never
seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I was frozen in fear, frankly, Monday night. And I wasn't watching the game. I was on Netflix, and I get a push notification that the game had been temporarily postponed, and that something happened. Something significant has to have happened. It's not thunderstorm season, so I went on Twitter and obviously saw what happened, and needless to say, I didn't watch Netflix the rest of the night. Just frozen. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. Something that we, I don't think, ever expected or thought could be possible. But here's the thing, that the best way to describe it is, even the gladiators in the arena, and that's what today's NFL players are, they know when they strap up that they're going out there with a real risk of getting injured. They understand that. Knees, ankles, concussion. None of them thought that that was something that was possible either. It's just something that we've never seen, we've never imagined, and I mean, really, thank God he's okay.
Yeah.
Or at least making improvement. It's a long way to go, but it's a lot better than what I think everyone feared Monday night.
A chance for recovery.
Yeah.
That's what you can ask for. I was watching the game. I record a podcast with Pete and Eric on Monday night, and we always have the Monday night game on in the background, and kind of saw it happen and just was waiting for him to get up or waiting for a thumbs up. The thumbs up is what you look for. And I think once you saw Josh Allen's face and Joe Burrow's face, you realized this is bad.
That's exactly what Rasul Douglas told me when I spoke with him yesterday about it. He was ordering dinner at a seafood restaurant in Green Bay, and he saw the play. It was muted on a TV above him. And his first thought was, he's concussed. That's another concussion. But then he saw, after ordering dinner, the reaction from his teammates. And Rasul Douglas said that he goes, did he die? Like he was, it became like that, something that seemed kind of ordinary, unfortunately. I mean, it's something that routine play and it, to something that no one's ever seen before.
Right. And a hard hit, but a routine hit.
Right.
And that's why it was so
scary. T. Higgins did nothing wrong. I mean, it was a football play that came from this. So
yeah.
I think that was part of what made it so shocking.
We did speak to a lot of Packers in the locker room this week just about, what it's like as a player having to step back out on the field after having seen that. And a lot of them credited just, the brotherhood of the NFL this week sort of stepping in and being there for each other. And that, Christian Watson was, explaining like it's going to be really, really hard to step back out on the field again. But, the fact that they're going to have each other and be able to do it together makes a huge difference. The Packers, as did, I imagine, in many other NFL teams, but we know the Packers provided additional, mental health resources this week. They held a session after practice on Wednesday with Dr. Carr, their in-house, you know, therapist, and allowed the guys to just kind of know that they were there for each other. And I think one of the biggest things they did, and, you know, you hear a lot of credit this week going to the medical professionals and the first responders with DeMar Hamlin, the fact that they got to him and executed the plan so quickly and so perfectly is really what saved his life. And so Matt LaFleur telling us Wednesday that Flea, the head athletic trainer and medical guy here, went over the team as to what their response would be. I mean, if you're a player, is that kind of what the main thing you want to hear? Like, you've got it, and you've got it under control in case anything happens here.
Well, I can't imagine that's a bad thing. I don't know what, you know, I'm not a player, so I don't know what they want to hear. But I know that Matt LaFleur was also not watching the game Monday night. He had work to do. He was in the coaching offices, and he heard someone talking about it. And one of the first things he did was started to text Flea, Brian Engel, the head athletic trainer, of just a ton of questions about what was happening. And the Packers started their week with a team meeting, like I would imagine just about every other NFL team did. And LaFleur said it was a very, very quiet room, not a lot of talking. Everyone really understood the gravity of the situation. And he invited Flea to discuss the procedures then. And so this is how they started their week. You know, it's interesting. Everything in the NFL is so regimented. You know, when you've done this year after year, you can almost every day kind of have an idea of what to expect. Aaron Rodgers talks on Wednesday. Some of the defensive guys talk on Thursday. Jaire Alexander talks on Friday. It's just everything's so regimented, but this week has been different. This has been something that breaks from the norm of what you expect, because you've never seen this before. And oh, by the way, there is a football game to still play. They have to go out there now and execute their jobs, which every player I've spoken to, Adrian Amos, Rasul Douglas, they've all said there's no room for hesitation. There's no, you know, when you think you might get hurt, that is when you get hurt. So they have no choice but to compartmentalize the risk that they're taking, the same that they do every week, but even amplified now, because that's just the way the game works.
As you said, they do have a game to play on Sunday versus the Detroit Lions. And I'm sure that hearing that DeMar Hamlin has been making significant recovery has got to be a huge weight off these players' shoulders on their minds. Someone asked me yesterday what the locker room was like, and I said, you know, it was actually a interesting balance, because there was, you know, the quiet reflection because of DeMar Hamlin. There's also still an energy around this team. They're buzzing. They're excited. They've won four in a row. Bobby Tonyan was asked today, do you believe in momentum? And he said, yes, it's a very real thing. And this team has it right now. Heading into a team that's record-wise in the same situation as them, with an offense that's clicking, a defense that can be scored on, but it's going to be at Lambeau on Sunday night. Let's just start big picture. This week 9 game versus the Detroit Lions was arguably one of the Packers' worst performances all season. Do you expect any sort of repeat performance, or is this a different team?
I think they're both entirely different teams, and they've both shown that. I buried them after 3-6, after Detroit. That's when I said this season is over. And then it got worse. I mean, 3-6 was not the low point. That's when I said it's over, but I felt pretty justified in thinking that way when they then go out and they have a comeback win against Dallas to go to 4-6, right where they were in 2016, and then they lose their next two games. That's the difference between this and 2016. 2016, they hit 4-6, and that was rock bottom. Then they won their last six regular season games. They finished 10-6. They had all the momentum. They were 4-6, and they lost their next two to Tennessee on the short week and then Philadelphia. It wasn't rock bottom until 4-8, and that's what they were going into December. And then something happened. And I think there's something to be said. The momentum that they got was really generated outside themselves first. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the NFC started losing. And when you see that, they had no right at 4-8 to have any shot, any prayer of the playoffs. But they were getting gifts from everywhere, all the bubble teams in the conference. And when you see that, you start to believe. And you start to think, okay, if we can just win, these other teams aren't doing their part. We can just win, get in. I think that helps spark a lot of belief. And then from Detroit's standpoint, they're 7-2 of their last nine. Jared Goff, Matt LaFleur said today, is quite possibly playing his best football. He hasn't had an interception in 8 games. Since the Packers, that was his last interception, early November. He's played clean, and when you have a clean quarterback with a talented offense that is Detroit, they're a team that feels red hot. Now, Cassidy, the one difference between the Packers and the Lions might get eliminated before kickoff Sunday night. If the Rams beat the Seahawks, beat the Rams, then the Seahawks have the tiebreaker over Detroit. They don't have the tiebreaker over Green Bay. So that's a scheduling advantage for the Packers. The Lions might enter kickoff knowing that they're out of it. Not to say they won't play hard, but there's a significant difference between the two. But they're both red hot, and they're both playing really good football.
Dan Campbell said all the right things this week, the Lions head coach, about if you go into that game knowing you're already eliminated. And he's like, we can either be playing to get in the playoffs or we can be playing to be the spoiler. And he's like, they're both, you know, you want to win both. And I get it. He said all the right things.
It's
but if
different.
If you're a player and you're sitting there knowing you're already eliminated and it's cold and it's week 18, I just can't imagine you're not like – and I'm not a player. I don't have their mindset. I know it's a different mindset. I just have to imagine that, like, there's a little part of you that's like, am I really going to lay that hit that hard? Am I really going to push for that extra yard?
Think of it the inverse. The Seahawks are expected to beat the Rams. The Rams are terrible.
Right.
So if the Rams actually upset the Seahawks and then the Lions have this chance, kind of like the Packers have been having chances, sparking belief – think about how turned up they're going to be.
Yeah, that's a great point.
They're going to come out with their hair on fire in a way that you just – I'm sorry, but you can't duplicate that knowing that if you win, your season is still over.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're not playing hard. It doesn't mean that they don't want to win and that they're not going to do everything they can to win that game. But you're not playing with your hair on fire knowing that your season's already over compared to, holy smokes, the Rams upset the right. Seahawks and there's a real chance now all we got to do is go out and win this game. It's just different.
Let's talk about the actual X's and O's part of it, though, too. This Packers offense, in my opinion, is drastically different than who they were when they played the Lions the first time. You've seen them really kind of find something with Christian Watson. They didn't have Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs for the majority of that Lions game the first time. They'll have both of them back on the field. They came out of Week 17 relatively healthy, so they should have every one of their offensive starters back on the field versus the Lions. Both Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard, Romeo Doubs, they all talked this week about, like, it took this offense a while to find its identity, and now they have it. I said, okay, and I asked them all, or asked Doubs and Lazard, okay, what is that identity? And they said, well, it's kind of hard to put into words, but both Lazard and Doubs ended up just landing on, like, we'll find a way. And, you know, you think about the past three seasons under LaFleur, this has been one of the best, most efficient offenses in the NFL. And I think this year it took them a while to realize, like, it doesn't have to be pretty to be efficient. And that's what it is now, is efficient. Is that an offense that can move on this Lions defense?
You know, I think there's still a level for them to go. And it's not surprising to me that they struggled to pinpoint what their identity is, because I think that they hit the next level, and I've been saying this, when they figure out how to balance Christian Watson and Aaron Jones in the game plan so that you maximize your two biggest playmakers. To this point, it's really been, okay, when Christian Watson has a big game, it's Christian Watson's game, and when Aaron Jones has a big game, it's Aaron Jones's game. When they're able to do both the way that they have before with Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, they've shown, this coaching staff has shown, that you can balance a really strong perimeter threat and a really strong running back threat. When they're able to figure that out, I think you're going to see it go to another level. But to your point, Cassie, yeah, a week after Detroit, what happened? Christian Watson backflipped in the end zone. That was the starting point. It was his first touchdown of what would be 8-4 games. And they didn't have that perimeter threat. It was non-existent in the first 9 games of the season, primarily because Christian Watson had the two hamstring pulls. He had the concussion the week before Detroit in Buffalo. And then he had to be removed for precautionary reasons after taking a really hard blow to the chest a week after that concussion in Detroit, so he didn't play much of the Detroit game. Not having that perimeter threat, you can run the ball all you want in this league, but if you don't have anything to balance it on the outside, it's only going to take you so far. And I think that that's what we saw. Even when they got Aaron Jones on track, they didn't have anything to support that. Now they do.
You know, we saw versus the Vikings this past week, even when they were taking those deep shots to Christian Watson and they weren't hitting, he was still pulling the defense. They had to stay too high pretty much the entire game just to honor him. So did he – is his tape so far still enough that the Lions are going to have to honor him even though he didn't do as much versus the Vikings?
Oh, yeah, because you know that he can take it to the house from anywhere on the field. He's mm-hmm. shown that. So you have to play him a certain way or else it's on film now. So he, you know, what has happened in the past can't happen again. Yeah, there's no question it helps the running game just having him on the field, which is why I think that it was so important for him to be on the field despite the hip, and clearly he wasn't 100% with the hip injury last week against the Vikings, but just having the presence out there, there's a reason why Aaron Jones went 90 yards and 9 carries in the first half. It's, you know, the offensive line having David Bakhtiari back was huge, and having him next to Elgton Jenkins for one of the few times this season, that's important because, as Matt LaFleur said, it's one of the best offensive lines on the left side that you'll find in the league when those two are right. That's important, but so is having a deep perimeter threat in Christian Watson.
We also saw Robert Tonyan kind of have his best game in weeks, maybe this season so far, versus the Vikings. He had the 21-yard touchdown where he was wide open. Maybe because it felt like this offense forgot about him, so the Vikings defense did too. It was a scramble drill touchdown, essentially, but he was still wide open. He was telling me yesterday, I had him break it down for me, and he was like, you know, Aaron just knows that I do that. You know, that's 5 years of football right there. That's chemistry. So we're seeing that kind of manifest itself again. He had a few other catches. He said he feared for his job when he didn't get the field goal marked where it should have been because he got brought down a little earlier. He was like, he almost couldn't watch the Crosby field goal at first because he was like, if he misses it, I'm losing my job. but still had one of his better games that he's had all season. We knew that with that ACL, like, even though he was back at the beginning of the year, it was going to take a while before he was back. Is this just one game, or do you kind of be like, okay, maybe they have something again now with their tight end in this passing game?
Yeah, I'd still like to see him beat somebody. You know, the touchdown, no one covered him. Right. And that's, you know, to his credit, he made a big play in the red zone when they needed him to. But that's a play that he'll tell you he should make when mm-hmm. no one covers him in the end zone. When he was Pro Bowl talent, I know he's a Pro Bowl snub in 2020, but Pro Bowl talent in 2020, he was beaten defenders down the seam, it seemed, almost every week, and we haven't seen that yet. So when we start seeing that, that's when you'll know he's starting to come back. But yeah, Robert Tonyan is someone that you at least have to cover. Like, you can't just leave him wide open. He will score touchdowns on you if you do that. So the Lions are going to have to take him into account.
Let's flip to the other side of the ball. The Packers defense held the Lions to 15 points in their last game, which I think was their lowest output of the season, if I'm remembering correctly, because this is a pretty high-powered offense. And I don't know about you, Ryan, but I feel like the defense has only gotten better since then. So, I mean, as we said, Jared Goff hasn't thrown an interception since that Packers game, that in the past 8 games. This Packers secondary has feasted over the past 7 games on interceptions. They have 12 interceptions over the past 7 games, 12 turnovers total over the past 4, if you include fumbles. So, I mean, where can you attack this Lions defense? Is this going to be maybe the best test this defense has faced yet? And where can they kind of get after this Lions offense?
I don't know about best test because Miami's got a lot of explosive playmakers and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and obviously Justin Jefferson. You saw what he did to this Packers defense week one. So they're coming off two really explosive, high-powered offenses that they've been able to – one, keep in check in Miami and not give up any points after the 4-minute mark in the second quarter. And two, just completely shut down the Vikings with just 3 points until their starters were pulled in the fourth quarter. But this is more the same. You can't exhale now because you got through Miami and Minnesota because Amon-Ra St. Brown is a dude. Like, if you don't bring your best against him, he might not have the Waddle dance. He might not be Tyreek Hill, who thinks he can beat Usain Bolt in a sprint. he might not be doing.
I still want to see that race.
he might not be doing the gritty like Justin Jefferson. He's more understated, but he's a stud, and you have to play him like them, because if you don't, he will beat you. So you start there. Obviously, they don't have T.J. Hockenson anymore, so that's going to be a big change. But it's a rock and a hard place. Six interceptions the last two games for this Packers secondary, and a quarterback in Jared Goff who's not throwing the ball to the other team right now. Something's going to have to change there.
Over the past two games, we've seen, like you said, because those offenses have such deep threats, the Packers were sort of willing to, like, give up that underneath stuff, and you've seen them more like, I think back to the beginning of the year, you know, say it was like 3rd and 7. Well, they might line up 9 yards off. Now they're lining up 7 yards off, and they're meeting them at the point of the catch. So all of that to say, is that going to be the key again with this offense? Can you give them some of that underneath stuff as long as you're meeting them at the catch? Or with Jamal Williams is in there as well, do you kind of have to, like, play it a little differently? I asked that a really convoluted way. I hope you picked up what I was trying to figure out.
I think the key, and I think what's been even more significant than six picks the last two games, not to underemphasize the picks, like, interceptions, turnovers, win games. Those are hugely important. But the process of how they're getting there, the bigger improvement to me is that since the second half against Miami, there's been no leakage deep. They've been able to button up the top, keep the top on the defense, and not give up explosive gains, which they were getting killed with early in the season. Now, only 2 20-yard catches when they played in Detroit. One of them was on a little leak out to DeAndre Swift, who, when Quay Walker missed a tackle in the flat. So it wasn't like that was a big part of the last time these two teams played. But as a whole in this season, being able to keep the top on the defense, play your assignment, not give up explosive gains, that has, to me, been the biggest change in the secondary. And that leads then to having the interceptions. A big difference between now and Detroit is obviously the defensive front, not having Rashawn Gary, who exited with the torn ACL in Detroit. The fact that they've been able, really since the bye week, to get pass rush and get pressure after the quarterback, that plays in concert with the back end. And I asked Matt LaFleur today, what's changed on the back end? How are you guys so connected now when you weren't earlier in the season? And he pointed to the pass rush, and I followed by asking, does that help with the communication errors that you saw earlier in the season aren't seeing now? He said, yeah, when you have less time to cover, it covers up a lot of those errors. And so you've seen the Packers be able to manufacture some pass rush without Rashawn Gary, and that only helps the secondary.
Rasul Douglas said something today that I thought was very interesting, so I wanted to get your input on it. He essentially was saying that last year they didn't necessarily have to fix their mistakes until it was too late. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit because it was a long answer. But he was essentially saying they didn't have to fix their mistakes because the mistakes weren't prevalent, but they were still there, or costing them, but they were still there until they cost them everything. This year, those mistakes were front and center, and it was obvious to everyone who was watching a Packers game what was going wrong and where, and that if there was any chance for them to get back to this point, they had to address those things early on. Is there something to, like, having to go through some tough times to figure out who you are as a team?
I think there's something to that. Think about what the biggest mistakes on a weekly basis were last year. Special teams. Mm-hmm. Every stinking week, right? If it wasn't a block punt, it was a missed field goal. If it wasn't a missed field goal, it was poor kickoff coverage. If it wasn't poor kickoff coverage, it was Amari Rodgers returning punts. It was always or not returning punts. It was always something. And then eventually it cost them with a block punt in a game that the defense was dominating, in a game that the Packers could have just ran forward on offense and closed it out. It cost them everything in the biggest moment in the playoffs. So there's something to be said for that. Now, don't get it twisted. There's no question the Packers would rather be trying to go 14-3 tomorrow or Sunday this week and being able to already have their ticket punched instead of needing to win the finale to get in. There's no question they'd rather be in last year's position than this year's. But you've seen teams, and you go back to the 2011 Packers, 15-1. They cruised through the regular season, beat by the Giants in the divisional round. When you have teams that are able to coast, and and then you have teams that go into the playoffs by the skin of their teeth, the throttle to the floor, it can, from a momentum standpoint, it can make a difference. So that's where the Packers are positioned now. The past 2 years, they've been able to largely coast. They're positioned to have that full throttle going into the playoffs, but they just have to take care of business.
I mentioned to Romeo Dobbs today about 2010, and you know how the Packers sort of got in by the skin of their teeth. They were the wild card seed and had to go on the road for every round and then won the Super Bowl. And you could, as I was saying that, you could just like see his eyes getting bigger and bigger. And he was like, wait, that was the Super Bowl year? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, the last seed? And I was like, yeah. And Dean Lowry walked up and he's like, yeah, man, that was a wild card year, or a, you know, just had to figure out how to get in there and just had to figure out how to make it happen. And it was like something just dawned on Romeo Dobbs when Dean Lowry and I were telling him that. And he was like, so like, we could do that. I was like, you could do that, but you got to win Sunday first.
First of all, rookies make me feel really, really old. I know. The fact that 2010 was like some type of ancient history, which I guess in the NFL it is, but holy smokes, I feel really old now. But no, I mean, that's...
He would have been, what, 10 years old, probably?
Yeah. Boy, wow, I feel the gray in my beard just thickening. No, I thought it was interesting that Aaron Rodgers said yesterday that this team is more talented than 2016, a team that went to the NFC Championship game. Now, he said that 2016 team had a lot more experience. A lot of guys have been in big games, right, because you got a lot of leftover still from the Super Bowl run in 2010, 2014. They went to the NFC Championship game and they, you know, they played in more big games, and this is a more inexperienced group. A lot of rookies on this team making significant impact, but from a talent standpoint, and I mean, think about it. Special teams, mm-hmm, now compared to 16, compared to 14, compared to last year,
compared to 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. Huge difference. Defense on paper should be dominant, and we might be starting to see that now. Might. We don't know. It's got to continue, but we might. I mean, what they just did to the Vikings was as good as they've been all year. And then you've got that really talented running back tandem in the backfield behind Aaron Rodgers. Christian Watson's a talented guy. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. They just don't have a lot of experience, and now this is where they really get to cut their teeth and play in big games.
Before we wrap up, Ryan, speaking of big games and big moments, we don't know what Aaron Rodgers' future is going to be. I don't know if he knows what his future is going to be. But you have him, you have a lot of guys, especially on offense, that, you know, this is the last year of their deal. Could this be the last game in Lambeau where we see some of these big names in the Packers uniform? And if so, like, how do you kind of rectify that in your mind?
Well, it could be this year. It could be next year. It could have been last year. Every year at this point, that's the possibility. I asked Aaron Rodgers that because if they win Sunday, they are the seventh seed, mm-hmm, which means that they are done at Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. If they even go to the Super Bowl, the path will be on the road like it was in 2010. So if Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback next season, Sunday will be his last game for the Packers at Lambeau Field. And I asked if he had any clarity on whether that was the case. And he acknowledged that it's a possibility. It's going to be in his mind, but he doesn't have any clarity on that. He reiterated it's going to be an off-season decision, much like it was last year. You can expect that the Packers are going to know by the start of the new league year in March, but between now and then, there's going to be a decision made. It's not going to come until after the season.
Bobby Tonyan was asked about it possibly being Rodgers' last game, and he said, hasn't it been his last game the past 3 years?
Right. Yeah, and if he's back next year, then it'd be the same thing all over again. This is a movie on repeat now.
Makes me think of like that song from Hamilton, like, we're going to teach him how to say goodbye. He's teaching Packers fans how to say goodbye every year, year after year. we should have Spoon back in the fold, hopefully in the next few days here. But his prediction will be in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Green Bay Press Gazette this weekend. Ryan, go ahead and kind of give me your prediction, your rundown of what Sunday will be.
I just have a really hard time thinking that this run they've been on, where everything is broken right for a month now, is going to end with a home loss against the Detroit Lions. I understand the Detroit Lions are not your usual Detroit Lions. This is a real squad. This is a team that is not a pushover. It's not like 5 years ago when Detroit had no idea how to win in Wisconsin. They've ended that drought. But with everything that is broken for them, they have now just they've whittled down this incredibly long list to one thing that they've got to do. They've got to beat the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. I have a hard time thinking that after everything else that they've accomplished and has been accomplished for them around them through no help of their own, that that's the one thing they're not going to be able to get done. So I'll take the Packers. I don't think the run stops here. It'd be a big surprise to me if it did.
Yeah, I agree completely. You said it perfectly. Like, this is the one thing they have left to do. How can that one be the one that goes wrong? It always still could.
It could. But just when we're thinking that, the Detroit Lions come out and watch. They're gonna lay a pounding and win by three touchdowns. I mean, that's how the season's worked, right? Like I said, I buried them after the last Detroit game.
Right.
So the fact that I think that they're going to the playoffs now is probably not what Packers fans want to hear. Because I've been wrong at every step this season. It's been very difficult to track what this team's going to do next. And just when you think they're doing one thing, they're going to just do the exact opposite. But if I had to guess, and it's a guess, I think they're going to beat the Detroit Lions at home.
Our colleague Pete Doherty said on the Facebook Live after the Vikings game, like, well, I'm done picking against the Packers. And I was like, I'm pretty sure every Packers fan is like, no, pick the Lions, the Lions.
Right?
You don't want to mess with superstition.
I'm sorry, Packers fans. Yes. I'm sorry.
But just from a pure X's and O's point of view, I think this Packers offense is much better. The Lions defense has never really been the issue. I think you can move the ball on this Lions defense. It was the Packers offense that couldn't do that in the first game. This Lions offense is so strong, so fast, they're going to be an issue. But we've seen this Packers defense really find their footing over the past 5 or 6 weeks here. I think this is going to be a much different game than it was in week 9. Yeah,
yes.
That was a week 9 game.
Good
call. Now we're heading into week 18. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like it was the Vikings. I think this is going to be a much closer game. It's going to be probably a very physical game. I mean, we might see like a 21-17 game or something.
We'll see if the Seahawks win or not.
Yeah, that's a great point. It'll all depend.
You know?
If six other games have fallen their way and then that one doesn't.
Oh,
my gosh. Can you imagine?
I think it does make a difference, and I'm not underselling the professionalism of the Detroit Lions or their desire to win. How could it not?
Right.
How could it not? The difference between the Rams have this big upset and all of a sudden you have a real chance if you go win compared to you're done. It doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah.
How could it not have a difference?
They're human. Like you said, they're professionals, but they're also human. It has to seep in at some point. Whatever happens, we will be there to cover it for you all. We will continue to have full coverage leading up to Sunday's game, then throughout and after the game as well, no matter what happens. Win and they're in, lose and we go home, you can get back to Netflix. We'll be here to cover it for you all. Thank you so much as always. This has been the Green 19 Podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com.
Green 19!